I know this man. But this man speaks to us from Psalms 34 and 4. And the text will come from Psalms 34 and 8. But Psalms 34 says, this man sought the Lord, and he heard him, and delivered him from all his fears. 34:6 says, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. So to this man, God is his PhD, his protector, his helper, and his deliverer. I'm going to submit to you the title, God is Good. But this man said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I can say from my experience that God is also my PhD. He is my provider. Back there then when I needed provisions and now. I know him as my healer because he healed me of the disease that was in my body. And I can say that he is my deliverer. Back when I used to smoke them bad cigarettes, he delivered me of that nicotine habit of smoking. So today, I want you to think about who God is from an experience. I need for you to understand that the phrase, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good, may be used as a greeting, as a response, or it just might be lip service. I will share with you about the man who instructs us to taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, we understand that God is omnipotent, all-powerful. He's omniscient, all-knowing, and he's omnipresent everywhere. In his omniscience, he knows what to do. In his omnipotence, he has the power to do it. And he's always where he needs to be to do whatever needs to be done. He is present everywhere. And because he is everywhere present, it also means that in all places, I'm present to him. So it's comforting to know that all my troubles and all your troubles are immediately in God's presence. So the psalmist goes on to say in Psalms 46 and 1, and he reminds us that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And because of who God is, he always make a way of escape for the trouble, or he'll help us in the time of trouble. Is anybody here in trouble today? Well, all right, somebody said something. I don't know. But if just in case you're in trouble today, just seek the Lord and cry out to him. I assure you that God will hear you and he will act on the behalf of those who love him. And implied in that love is trust and obedience. The psalmist said, trust and obey, for there's no other way. Now, I want to give you a little bit of biblical background about this man. David is the man that was in trouble. The one that tells us to taste and see that the Lord is good. So that you will sort of understand where I'm coming from and where I'm going, let me tell you this. While Saul is still the king of Israel, God instructs Samuel, the prophet, to anoint David as the next king. Now, you all know about David. David is that little ruddy one that you heard Pastor read about. He's the one that conquered Goliath, that big old Philistine champion. And he established a relationship with Saul's son named Jonathan. Some people say Jonathan. Now, when Saul, the king, realized that David will become king one day, he grows very jealous. And he tries to kill David on many occasions. Now, the New Living Translation said, where you find jealousy and self or ambition, there will also be disorder and evil of every kind. Mm-hmm. I need for you to understand that God gave David a way of escape into the Philistine territory until Saul is killed in battle. From this, we understand that when we are treated unjustly, we should not take the matter into our own hands, but we should let God handle it. God, who is faithful and just and good, sees all that is happening and will judge all evil. So from the scripture, we realize that God instructed Samuel the prophet to anoint the next king of Israel. And he instructed him, or as God told him, he went to Bethlehem. And he told him, well, you can go and offer a sacrifice. And this was sort of like an excuse, because the prophet was afraid that King Saul might kill him if he suspected what he really came to do in Bethlehem. So Samuel, according to what God had told him to do, offered a sacrifice with Jesse. And he asked Jesse to present his son. Now Jesse had 8 sons. And when Samuel saw the eldest son, he was impressed by his stature. He was convinced that God must anoint him to be the king. However, God said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. Now, when God rejects somebody, you need to just leave that alone and don't try to help God. See, the Lord do not look at things the way man looks at it. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7 tells us so. So when Jesse presented his second son, God told Samuel, the Lord has not chosen this one either. So this happened. Third son, then there was the fourth son, there was the fifth son, there was the sixth son, and there was the eighth son. Finally, Samuel asked Jesse if he had another son. Jesse told him, yeah, I have another son, his name is David, but he's out there tending the flock. Then Samuel asked him, he said, well, you need to call him, you need to bring him in. And so he called the one that was out there tending the sheep. Y'all know about David, that one that killed the bear, that one that was out there keeping the lions from the sheep. So David comes in and he sees David, young son David. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Don't you know God know you? He know what's in your heart. He don't care what you look like, but he cares about what's in your heart. So Samuel obedient anointed him, and I can imagine the brothers probably got a little bit jealous because he did it in the presence of all of them. I bet the oldest one said, it should be me, I'm the oldest. I bet the youngest one, oh no, not me. I'm the least one that should be. I said that when I heard that God called me to preach. I said, God, not me. I'm the youngest. Yeah. You got 5 sons. Why can't they be one? So we can see David from being a zero, as someone would think, to being a hero. But that's not the most important thing about it. David. When we think of David, we think about him being a shepherd, a poet. He wrote a lot of the Psalms, a giant killer, a king, one of Israel's greatest kings, an ancestor of Jesus, one of the greatest among the greatest, I will say, in the Old Testament is David. Mm-hmm. But alongside that, there's another list about David. He was a betrayer, a liar, an adulteress, a murderer. But David is remembered and respected for his heart for God. In fact, the Word of God said David was a man after God's own heart. More than anything else, and this is something that we need to take into consideration, David had an unchangeable belief in the faithfulness and forgiveness of God's nature. I said David had an unchangeable belief in the faithful and forgiving nature of God. Now we know, if we read and study the history of David, David sinned a lot, didn't he? Like us.
Yes.
But he was quick to confess his sin. And his confessions were not just from the lip, it was from the heart.
That's right.
And the Bible tells us, if we confess our sin, what? He's faithful and just to forgive us and to do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So in the text, Psalms 34 and 8, David leaves us with this instruction. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. In this psalm, David begins by praising God for his deliverance from fear and trouble. The word that he, this poor man cried out and the Lord heard him. Do the Lord hear you when you cry out? Oh, what somebody said, I believe he do. Not only was David praising God, he then calls up the Israelites to remember that their God is both a protector and a deliverer. So after he tells them that, then comes the tasting and seeing in verse 8. He tells the people that they will be blessed by trusting in the Almighty God. And I say that to you. If you want to be blessed, trust the Lord. So if you want to be blessed, do what David said. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, tasting and seeing means that we got to employ two senses. Our mouth. Right?
Amen.
And what else? Eyes. Now these two can get us into trouble, but it can also get us out of trouble. If you were in Sunday school a few weeks ago, we heard that Eve looked at the food and saw that it was pleasant to the eyes, and she did eat, and she did give to her husband. Anybody remember that? Oh yes, that happened, because the Bible tells us so. So, be careful what you see, because you might be seeing the wrong thing. And once you see it, it might look good to you and you might desire it. But before eating something, before we eat food, we see it, right? Some food just appears so good to us, right? Something that looks so good, I think I want a little bit of that. It's not going to hurt me. I can remember my mom used to be on a salt-free diet. And my father had diabetes. So here I got two parents. And I say, I'm not going to have diabetes. I'm not going to have heart disease. So far, so good. So I decide, I see some things that I know that's not good for me. So I don't partake. Some things, if I don't have in my house, I won't eat, but if I bring it in, I might be tempted to eat. But look, go with me to Genesis 2 and 9. This is what God did. Genesis 2 and 9 say, out of the ground the Lord made every tree that grew that was pleasant to the sight and good for food. And Genesis 1:29, and God said, see, I have given you every herb-bearing seed, which is on the face of all the earth, every tree whose fruit yields seed to you shall be for your food. Now, just because God give you everything freely, that don't mean you need to be a glutton for all of it. So just think how God created us. He created us. Let's start with Adam. Adam was created with a natural hunger for food. So God gave him the produce of the garden to satisfy his hunger. God also created Adam with the spiritual hunger. The only thing that could satisfy him would be an intimate relationship that included direct communion with God. Mm-hmm. But what happened? Adam messed up, didn't he? Mm-hmm. God told them, of all the trees in the garden, you may freely eat. Mm-hmm. But there's the one, the tree of good knowledge, you shall not eat. So Eve saw that it was pleasant to her eyes, and she did eat, right? That one enough, she gave to her husband, he did eat. Mm-hmm. And this is where blame is started. Mm. Eve said, God, Satan, the devil, he beguiled me. He deceived me. And I did eat. Adam said, God, that woman that you gave me, she gave to me and I did eat. And what does Satan say? Somebody tell me what Satan said. Did Satan say anything? He tricked Eve, right? Had her believing and think, no, God didn't say that, he lied. But God had already given food. So as believers in Jesus Christ, we are united to God in a personal relationship. And we hunger, or should hunger, to know him better. And if we love him more, what will we do? We will obey him. So let's go back to a scripture that God said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after what? Righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now remember, David said, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We are told to taste first and then see his goodness. So how do we taste his goodness? The Bible speaks of three things that has to do with the word. And these three things are water, milk, and meat. Now we know all these things are natural things, but these words are used as a word picture for God's word. The word water here is symbolic, referring to the word of God as well as the Holy Spirit. Listen to what Ephesians 5:26 tells us. It says that we are cleansed with the washing of water by the word. There are things that will be and need to be cleansed. Things in our mind, so is a man thinking in his heart, so is he. So if the thought is in our mind, next thing we know, we're going to be seeing it. Mm-hmm. Things that need to be dealt with is our conduct. We can't do the right thing until we get the Spirit of God, right? Mm-hmm. Things has to do with our character and our attitude. Our character is the only thing we're going to take out of this world. Mm-hmm. Our attitude is what determines how high we go, but it also affects other people. Have you heard somebody say, oh, they got a bad attitude, I can't stand them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we need to check our own attitude, because our attitude can affect somebody else. All these things are cleansed by water. When we are washed by the water of the Word of God in conjunction, he gives us a new nature. And that is given to us through his Spirit. This should help us understand why God says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman needed not being ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. So we study to show ourselves what approved unto God, not man. God began to tell us those who hunger and thirst after righteousness should be filled. Now our body will hunger and thirst. You go out here and work in the garden like I do sometime on a hot day, you get thirsty. And nothing can quench that thirst like water. How many know that's true? But just like our bodies that God gave us, and they don't belong to us, our bodies belong to God. Our bodies need food and water, but our souls need spiritual water and food. So the living word, Jesus Christ, and the written word of the Bible is what can satisfy our hungry and thirsty soul. No wonder God tells us to study. No wonder he tells us to search the scripture, learn of me. How you gonna follow him if you don't know about him? So we know that water here is symbolic of the word of God. So we need water for those purposes to cleanse us. Now Peter, in 1 Peter 2 and 3 says about the milk. He said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may thereby grow. If so be, you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. You have to taste before you see. In Psalms 119, 103, the psalmist gives us this description. He said, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Everybody taste the honey, right? No, honey is sweet. Honey is a natural sweetener, unlike all that other stuff that we use to sweeten our drinks and our food. So, but he said, desire the sincere milk of the word. In other words, when we first get born again, we're spiritual babes, but we're not supposed to stay babes, we're supposed to grow. So at first you have milk, but you don't need to stay on milk forever. Think about a child drinking milk. As he grow into different development stages of life, he don't need just milk. He needs some solid food. So if we're going to grow in the things of God, we're going to have milk as babe, but we're not going to stay on milk. That's why you got to search the word. That's why you got to study. And the next thing, the third thing is meat. Hebrews gives us a warning about spiritual immaturity by describing milk and meat. And this is what he said. Hebrews 5, 12, 14 says, for when the time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, and become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is what? A babe. But strong meat belongeth to them who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. So there you have it. You got to taste before seeing. And the three, water, milk, and meat is used. We say, I've said it, I'm sure you said, God is good, and all the time God is good, right? But I'm here to tell you today, that's not sufficient. Just saying it, we need to taste and see that he is good. There's another phrase that I heard growing up. I don't hear it too much nowadays, but this man named William Cowper penned a phrase that said, variety is the spice of life. I disagree with him. God is the spice of life, and God is life. So he don't need no other ingredient. He got three that makes him the best thing that ever happened to me. But in culinary, those of us who try to cook a little bit and bake a little bit. We use spice, right? 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 I know there's some bakers in here, right? So spice is that ingredient that affects the taste of food. If I add a little cinnamon to a sweet potato batter, Miss Davis, that enhances the taste, right? And if I'm doing, which I'm not really the greatest baker, but if I'm doing an apple pie, I might put some allspice, right? That's gonna give that apple pie a good taste. Just talking about these spices that I'm very familiar with. When I'm making a banana pudding, Pastor Davis, I might add a little nutmeg. That'll make the banana pudding taste real good. So, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You don't need spice, but you need water, you need milk, and you need the meat of the word. David has given us an instruction that we need to follow. David was that man after God's own heart, after all the things that he had done. But one thing David did, he didn't try to hide his sin. And the Bible don't hide his faith either. But it tells us that David was a man after God's own heart. So if David was after his own heart, and he tells us to taste and see that the Lord is good, I think it's something that we should do. Now, not only should we taste and see that the Lord is good, according to David, but that's good advice. But it's not only good advice, it's great advice. How many taste the Lord?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yes, it did. I see a lot of hands. But you see, remember now, you got to taste and see for yourself. Pastor Davis can't tell me, Reverend Matt, just taste the Lord and see. I had to decide within myself that I really want to taste and see. So if I want to taste and see, I've got to get into this book. I've got to read it. I've got to study it. I have to compare scripture with scripture, precept upon precept. I have to search it out. See, just telling me God is good and all the time God is good, that's lip service.
That's right.
But I've got to look in here and find me some spiritual nuggets. I got to eat on them and chew on them and come back and reread it and get some more and meditate on it day and night. And then God lets me know you're going to have good success. So God is good. But taste and see for yourself. Just don't hear it. Just don't say it to be saying something. But God is good, and all the time what? God is good. So how many gonna follow what David said? Taste and see that God is good. Oh, taste and see. He makes it exciting. God is good. But you know what? When you really taste him, and you see how good he is, you just want more of him.
That's right.
And the more you spend quality time with him, the more he will give you spiritual nuggets. And God will speak in ways that you haven't thought of. About 2 weeks ago in church, I heard the Lord speak to me, but it was a different way. It wasn't audible, but it was a sound. And that sound is a swishing noise in my ear. When I hear that sound, I know that God is speaking to me. And this particular time, I paid attention to it. It was in my left ear. And I'm like, God, what are you saying? But I always know that when God gives me that sound in my ear, that it has a meaning. So I said, I got to start back journaling like I used to. So I wrote it down. But I look back at some things I remember when I heard it before. I would always hear about a death about somebody that I know, sometime a family member, and sometime not a family member. This time, it happened to be a family member. And I said to one of my sisters, I said, you know, I heard that switching sound. I know God is speaking something. And I said, I know from looking back at my journal, when I hear it, it's somebody that I know. Sure enough, 2 days later, my sister called and said, so-and-so passed away, who is a distant cousin of ours. And I think it sort of affected my sister a lot that I told her that. So she said, I don't want you telling me nothing about your cousin. Because this particular sister and this cousin that is now deceased, it's about the same age. She got my sister older for about 4 years. But I'm saying, you got to taste and see God. You got to hear God. Because he'll speak in different ways. You know, he'll speak to us in the Word. He'll speak to us through somebody else. He is God. He can speak however he wants to. So now that makes me pay attention. So every time I hear that sound, yeah, I write it down. But I can't figure it out. I have to wait and see what God says. But that was true to form. So I say to you today, stop just saying God is good all the time. All the time he's good. But taste and see that he is good. May the Lord bless you. May you do taste and see. You don't have to use no spices for God, because God is the spice of life. He's omnipotent.